Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 354, stanzas 1 and 2. Like Zion's steadfast mount are they who in the Lord confide. Secure, immovable they stand, forever to abide. 1 and 2 of Psalter 354. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, the first 22 verses, 1 through 22 of Acts 4. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts chapter 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Dustin Grisnick, who may come home from the hospital. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, we may gather in this morning again, and thou art the witness of our hearts and of our lives. Lord, we may sing it together, thy anger that is most slow to rise, and thy mercies are most great. And so it is, whether we have eyes to see it or no. But wilt thou open then our poor blind eyes, that we may in this morning be given our rightful place before thee, that we may come in the dust of self-abasement before thee, because by nature then we come with our religious self to thy house in this morning. And we are a good man, a good woman, a good boy, a good girl. But we do not see all our wretchedness, all our iniquity. And we do not abhor ourselves rightly before a holy and a righteous God, who is not able to look upon the smallest sin, and who must deal with it according to thy righteous sentence and judgment. The wages of sin is death. And so we have heard it in the weeks that are gone by, how that thou hast given thine own Son, even unto that death of the cross. But now we may commemorate the exaltation of thy Son once again, and is sitting at the right hand of power, and that power that may be experienced upon the earth as it was with that lame man who received through that name feet to walk again, and not only to walk, but to leap and to jump and to praise thee in thy house. O Lord, would it not be so also with us and with our children? When that name Jesus may also be applied to us, then we shall also rejoice in thee. Oh, what shall it be in thy house
in this day when such a miracle would take place, when thou wouldst give feet unto the lame, that they who have cut off all their own ability to serve thee, and in our deep fall in paradise, or when we would receive it once again, then this place shall be filled with thy praises. O thy name, O Lord, that should be so honored and glorified as it would burst out of the hearts of those who may be taught not only to pray, but also to sing. Wilt thou remember all thy children? O give to them a little song this morning. For thou knowest how often that it is. There are so many cares and concerns and burdens. There are often so many questions. Am I his or am I not? But Lord, thou art able to give that faith in exercise for a moment, to give them to look up unto thee. And that name, oh, that it may be brought into the foreground by thy Spirit, that they may be given eyes to see thee, who and what thou art and where that thou art, on that right hand of power. Give them to see something of the certainty of their salvation, because it is finished by thee, and it will be accomplished also for them, despite all their own backslidings, despite all the remaining infirmities, despite all the wickedness that still lies within, that is a burden to their heart, the worldliness that lives within, the carnality, that it is not as it ought to be, that they cannot believe on thee as they ought. O Lord, thou knowest all that the devil does bring also, that there are so many accusations, and that so often they have to say it is true. But Lord, when thou wilt bring again thy dear Son into their sight, to reveal him once again, then there shall be a leaping, there shall be a rejoicing for a moment, the beginning of that eternal song of Moses and the Lamb. Look upon all of us together. Oh, when we are still on the outside of it, Lord, then we have never learned to sing, and we have never learned to sorrow. Oh, Lord, remember us then, because then we miss the most necessary things. Though we have all in this world, oh, what shall it be to lose our own soul? Lord, take reasons out of thyself and work, because it is thy day, it is thy house, it is thy word. Oh, bless then the foolishness of preaching, the few words that we hope to bring. Guide thou our mouth as thou hast guided the mouths of thy servants. And when thou didst come on the day of Pentecost, and wherein the arrows were sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, oh, then the people did fall under thee, and they did cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Lord, wilt thou take reasons out of thyself so to work also in the days in which we live with our children? Do be with young and old together, all that are not able to gather with us. Remember those in the nursing home. Lord, wilt thou supply also for them this day, and in their old age, and also all that may be sick and afflicted in their own homes. Lord, wilt thou care for all them in their needs. Remember the youth and the rising generation. Oh, cause their hearts this day also to be broken by thy Spirit's power, because of love for thee and sorrow for sin. And then thy dear Son will in thy time also be made precious unto them. Look upon the child that was brought home from the hospital. Oh, many supplications have gone out unto thee. Lord, thou hast made it thus far well, and there are still many needs and cares. Wilt thou go with him and increase his health and strength and the comfort of his body? And wilt thou strengthen and help the parents and family together? And oh, bless these ways in thy mercy, Lord. Let it not go by without profit for the soul. Remember all those that travel, that there may also be those in our midst. Lord, watch over and protect them also in all the way that they do go. Remember all thy truly sent servants when they go forth in this day to bring thy word amongst Jew and Gentile, and that thy spirit may come, and that it may bless and sanctify, and that many may be born in Zion. And wilt thou look upon us in this morning hour? Lord, help us. Help us, thou who knowest all our needs and all that thou hast called us unto. Oh, give us now then a few words to speak. Give that the matter may not be alone in our mind, but, Lord, that we may be enabled to bring it forth out of the heart, and that it may enter the hearts by thy Spirit. Forgive thou our many and many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
And while your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 193, the first five stanzas. O God, to thy anointed King, give truth and righteousness. Thy people, he will justly judge and give the poor redress. 1 through 5 of Psalter 193. congregation at his wedding, Samson put forth a riddle. Out of the eater came forth meat. Out of the strong came forth sweetness. It was, or seemed to be, a paradox. Paradox, something that seemed to be a contradiction. It could not be right. And the Philistines, they were not able to solve this riddle. They couldn't figure it out. Not until that they plowed with his heifer. How is that also in the life of God's children? And then there are also so many things that seem to be contradictions. There are so many things that seem like it is impossible that they fit together. And that is the reason of that often question that is living in their heart: am I his or am I not? They cannot put it all together until the Lord himself will show it to them. That is not only in their own life, but we can read that is also in the salvation of God's church itself. So many things that they will not know until afterwards. And then they will sing. And then they will say, it is a marvel in our eyes. We wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider something of this with you in this morning hour, out of the words of our text, Acts 4, and thereof the 11th verse. Acts 4, verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. So far, the words of our text. The stone set at naught made the head of the corner. First, the type. Second, the antitype. And afterwards, we wish to conclude with a word of application. The stone set at naught made the head of the corner. First, the type. And second, the anti-type. Our text that speaks about a stone. Thus, children, that is something that you can understand too. Is that ever a wonder to us? We are so dumb and blind and ignorant. And the Lord, he teaches us by such simple things as the stones. So condescending is the Lord to his people, even after their willful fall and departure from him in paradise. And it is surprising how many times we do read in the Bible about stones, about precious stones, as those things that are representing the things which are spiritual and so hard so often to understand, the things that are spiritual. Here we read about a stone, a special stone, and that stone is called the head of the corner. Thus, we need to ask, what is this of which is spoken here, the head of the corner? And then we must say we are not exactly sure what that this is pointing to. That can be one of several things. We read in the Bible about stones which are foundation stones. Thus, a stone upon which a building is resting, in order that that building may have stability. Indeed, a cornerstone, a foundation stone, is a very, very significant, a very important stone. We read of the wicked practices in God's word of the Canaanites. The Canaanites, when they would set that very first stone of some important, of some public building, and then they would sacrifice. They would sacrifice whom? Well, they might sacrifice their little boy or their little girl, or they might sacrifice their wife. Thus, they would kill them, and they would take their body, and they would lay it underneath that foundation stone as a consecration of this building. Maybe that shows to us a little bit of what the meaning is when we read about Jericho, because Joshua, we know, he has adjured the people, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates thereof." Later on, we read that there was a man, Ahio the Bethlehemite, who built Jericho, and then we read, "He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun." Thus, when he began to build, then he lost his first son, that is Abiram. And when he finished building and did set up the gates of that city, and then he has lost his youngest son, Segub, and some do say, and that the rest of his children also that were in between. Israel, they were not to follow the customs of the Canaanites. They were not to follow the customs of the world. We are not to follow them either. Is that so also in our life, that we do not walk after the superstitious and evil customs of this world? But we know that the Israelites also, when they made a building, they also needed such a stone, a foundation stone. Thus, Isaiah, he writes that, "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation stone." And what kind of stone was it? He says, "A tried stone, a precious corner stone, a sure foundation." Thus, we read of that foundation stone, and Job, he speaks also about the very earth itself. He asks, "Whereupon are the foundations of the earth fastened? Who has laid the cornerstone thereof?" The very cornerstone of this world. Thus we have foundation stones. Then there were, we can read in the Temple of Solomon, we can read that there were cornerstones. Cornerstones were also very, very important because they were in the corner of the building and they were bringing together and they were solidifying the two walls together. And then there was a very, very important, a very special cornerstone, which was called by times the headstone or the capstone. That was the crowning stone of the building. That was that that stone that was on the highest part of that building, often the one that was laid last in that building, or that one in which all of the sides or the architecture of that building was coming together, the headstone. Thus, that was also a very important stone, a stone that was attended in its placement very often with a ritual and with ceremony. We know that Sanballat, children, you know him, Sanballat, he was an enemy. And when they wanted to build a temple, then Sanballat, he came in the way and he tried to hinder that temple from being built. And Zerubbabel, well, he was not of a very high office in the midst of this world. He was a mean and a lowly person. And the enemy, he is so often much stronger than the true people of the Lord. But then we can read in the Word of God of this mountain, and that must have been such a mountain for the people when they wanted to build that temple. And when that enemy was there and hindering that temple from being built, but we read of the encouragement of the Lord for Zerubbabel, that the Lord says, "Who art thou, O thou great mountain?" Before Zerubbabel, before that mean man, that lowly man, before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And we read, he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, "Grace, grace unto it." Thus, what does the Lord say? He shall not only lay the foundation, he shall not only continue, but he shall also come to the end of the building of that building. And that headstone, that capstone, that shall be placed there amongst the rejoicing of all of God's children. And so we read in our text of the head of the corner, and whether it is pointing now to that foundation stone or to that head or that capstone, whatever it is, then it is a very significant, it is a very important stone in the building of this building. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. And thus we began by speaking about a paradox, something that seems to us a riddle, something that seems to us contradictory. And then we can ask, what is now that paradox that is in the words of our text? Well, then we have to look for the builders. The builders, children, they are building the temple. They are building the building. And then they are making a choice, because there are several very, very important stones. One of them is a foundation for that building, upon which that building is going to rest, upon which it is going to lean. The other one, that is the capstone, that is that stone of great beauty, that is that stone that will be placed with ritual, with ceremony, and with rejoicings at the completion of that building that cannot be just any stone. No, and those builders then they are looking, and they see a stone that is lying there. And that stone that is lying there, they put to the side. They say, no, that stone for sure not. Because look at it. It is a stone that is not worthy of that honor. It is a stone that is not worthy of that high place. Shall we finish our building and shall we put that awful looking stone as the headstone with all those people standing around? Are they then going to rejoice? They will say, you are a fool. When you choose such a stone as your headstone, as your capstone, and so they push that one to the side. And what is now the paradox? All that is, that when that building that is now all complete, and that building is finished, and then we see that capstone, that headstone, that is being placed there. And we take a look at what stone that was. Oh, then we can see that it was not the stone that was chosen by those builders, but it was that stone that was most certainly by them set aside. And so we see the mystery and how that the Lord, He is going to deal with His church in the salvation of their souls. And that is a mystery that we read of often in the Holy Word of God. James, he says, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Little fire. We say, children, do not play with fire. And if we have just a little fire, then it is possible we say it is so small, it is so little, that we don't pay any attention to it. And when we pay no attention to it, and then it can be that very soon that it is growing into something that we are not able to overcome anymore. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And James says the tongue that is a fire, that is a little member of our body, but those things that we do speak with our tongue, they can bring forth a very, very much evil. Thus, there are things, they are so very small, also in the way of evil. A little leaven, the apostle says, a little leaven that leaveneth the whole lump, a little sin that is allowed to come in your family, parents, that is allowed, consistory, to come in our congregation, a little sin, a little leaven. Children, not so much leaven your mother puts in that dough, and that leavens the whole thing. And a little sin that you leave in your life, and you let that go, and you do not stamp it out. Oh, what a great matter that this can kindle. Oh, what was that our first parents did? They just took a little fruit. Just one little piece of fruit. You say, that is not so bad. That is not so much. Oh, what a great matter that this sin, as leaven, to affect the whole race of mankind. Thus we see it with evil. But now we see it also on the other side. Now we see how that was with Joseph. Joseph, he was despised by his brothers. Joseph, he was sold as a slave. Joseph, he is lying there in the prison. But what is now the end of that man? He is to become the viceroy of all of that land of Egypt. Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. Samuel says, Eliab, oh, surely this is he. Oh, the Lord, he looks not on the outward appearance. The Lord, he looks on the heart. Oh, go get that little boy. That little boy that is out, he is still feeding those sheep, and you think not of him, Jesse. But that little boy, he will become the king of Israel. Jephthah, the Gileadite, son of a harlot. All his brothers, they cast him out. And what will he become? Oh, he will become the judge of Israel. What did the Lord Jesus say? He says, the last, they shall be first. And the first, they shall be last. He that is least among you, he says, the same shall be the greatest. Promotion that comes not from the east or from the west, not from the north or from the south, but God is the judge. And he sets up one and he puts down another. So we read it also of the kingdom of God. There was a foundation of that temple that was laid. And then we can read how that foundation that was so very small, and that people, they even wept, and that had seen that first temple. But the Lord says, who has now despised the day of small things, because a greater shall be this second temple than it was that first temple, Belshazzar. Oh, he saw that image, a great image, or a picture of the great nations of this world. And then he saw in his dream that stone cut out of the mountain without hands, and that has broken that image to pieces. And what do we read? That stone that grew into a great mountain. Thus we have the type. Thus we have the type. And over again laid out for us in that holy word of God. Now we have in our second thought the anti-type. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Who is speaking? It is Peter. And to whom is Peter speaking? He is speaking to the Sanhedrin. Oh, has Peter now become a member of the Sanhedrin children? Oh, they could have used his instruction. That simple man whom they despised, because he was an ignorant man and because he was an unlearned man. No, he was not a member of the Sanhedrin. No, but it is very different. He is standing before that Sanhedrin. He is on trial before that Sanhedrin. Oh, has Peter done something wrong that he is now being questioned, that he is on trial? Oh, there is a great commotion. There is a great commotion in Jerusalem, in the temple. Everyone, the people, they are all speaking about what has happened. And what has happened? Oh, there was a man. They have known him so very, very well. For more than 40 years, he could not walk. And he has been laying there at that gate of the temple for so, so many years. And he is not there anymore. He is not there. And why is he not there? What has happened? Oh, he was healed. He was healed. And we have seen it. We have seen it with our own eyes. And he has gone. And he was in one moment receiving all his health and his strength. He has gone leaping and jumping and rejoicing in that temple of the Lord. Oh, who is the doctor? Who is the physician, children? No. No, it was not a doctor. It was not a physician. It was just two plain men. Two plain men. Who were they? Peter, John. And what have they done? Oh, they have spoken. And that man was healed. The Lord blessed what they spoke. Do you ever ask that the Lord may bless what we may speak to? Oh, that you also may be healed. And what did they say? Oh, they have spoken a name. What was that name? Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. The name Jesus. And now we see them standing. And they are standing before their judges. They are standing before the Sanhedrin. What was their crime? The crime was they have said, they have spoken, they have taught the people in the name of Jesus. By what power or by what name have ye done this? So Peter, he begins to speak. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Oh, how different than before. Peter, he was afraid of a maid. She only had to make a little statement. And Peter, he is ready to run away. And now Peter is standing before all his judges, standing before the men of the Sanhedrin. And they are not looking at the Lord Jesus anymore, but they are looking directly at Peter. They are asking Peter to give an account of his deeds. And in Peter there is no fear. No, he is filled with that Holy Spirit of the Lord. And the Lord gives to him boldness to speak in that day. And what does he do? He declares that name of Jesus again. Sanhedrin, they knew that name very well. Oh, they have known that name for several years. The Sanhedrin, they have discussed that name. The Sanhedrin, they have counseled together. They have taken steps. Those steps, they were to stamp out that name, that that name would never be heard again. And they have succeeded because they have brought him to his death. And they have seen him on the cross. And he has now been buried in the earth. And to them it was a good riddance that they never had to hear this name again. And now they had not expected this. That that name that has not died, that that name lives on, that the power of that name that is still being felt among the people, that it is still being preached, that it is still being spoken. They cannot understand this. They thought it was gone. They thought it was done now forever. Peter tells them why. And when Peter tells them why, then he quotes. He quotes the Old Testament. And the meaning of the Old Testament, he explains. Oh, has not the Lord Jesus opened his understanding that he may understand the Scriptures? And then has he not opened his understanding concerning those things
which were prophesied of himself. And thus Peter, he has been taught by the Lord Jesus so directly. And Peter, he now stands before this Sanhedrin, and whose words does Peter quote? He quotes the words of David. Or he quotes the words of the sweet psalmist of old. He quotes the words of him who has sung in hope of the coming of that Messiah, of that Savior, who needed him so for his own soul. And what had David sung? Or he sang the stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Oh, he sings of what? He sings of the wonders of the Lord. He sings of the mysteries of the Lord in the life of his people. He sings about the paradoxes of the salvation of his church, the things that will not be able to be understood, and those things that are so going to be riddles unto God's people in their life. But he sings of what shall be the end of this, that it is going to be a marvel, people of the Lord. Oh, whatever that the Lord is bringing you through in your life, all those disappointments, all those discrepancies, all those things wherefore you have to say, it is not, it cannot be. Oh, in the end, oh, he sings. For the sake of that church that is coming to the end of the world, he is singing. He is singing and saying that it is a marvel, and it shall be a marvel in your eyes. The stone which the builders refused is become at the head of the corner. It is said that there is not a text that in the Old Testament that is more quoted and that we can find in the New Testament. Is that ununderstandable? Or is it not understandable? Or is it not for the rejoicing of that afflicted and that poor church of God, who in all of their oppressions may sometimes be given and then to trust in that name of the Lord? Or is it not understandable? Did the disciples themselves not live through this in their life? Or did they not also, in the very end, have to experience that stone? They may rejoice in it. It was such a marvel unto them. So many mysteries, so many paradoxes, so many things, when he was laying there in the grave, that they could not understand. And now those disciples, all they may see, he has risen from the dead. He has ascended into heaven, and he is sitting at that right hand of power. And so they may sing, it is a marvel in our eyes, a rejoicing even for that church of all ages, who may still experience something of the power that is in that name because of him who lives at that right hand of God. Oh, that stone which the builders refused. No, he was not chosen by men. He was not chosen by the secular man. He was not chosen by the man of this world. He also was not chosen by the religious man. He was not chosen by the Jew. No, he was refused. He was refused already in the womb, wasn't he, children? Do you remember? He was refused before he was even born. When he was brought by his mother and Joseph unto Bethlehem, and then there was not even a place for him in the inn. Why? Why? Oh, it is because there was no room there? No. It is because, oh, that Son of God, he has humbled himself so low to take the lowest place in this world. Not among the high kings of the earth that may have all the good things of this life, but amongst the poorest in this world. And now the people of Israel, they should have been ashamed, because they were also once poor. They were in the land of Egypt, and there they were poor, so poor they were slaves. They could not even do as they wished, and the Lord delivered them. And then the Lord said, now, you remember the poor, because you also were once poor. And I have brought you out of their poverty. And therefore, that it was such a shame when Joseph and Mary, they came to that inn, and that there was not a place for them in that inn, in that condition wherein she was. But, oh, it goes deeper. It goes deeper. Because that Son of God, he was willing to take this place in order that that word of God spoken so long ago may be fulfilled. Oh, that stone that will be the headstone of the corner, that stone that first must be refused. Then he will be refused in his birth. Oh, then they will persecute him, and he will have to flee into Egypt. And he will be refused in his upbringing. And when he will be brought up in Nazareth, when he will be brought up in Galilee, search and look. Cometh there any prophet out of Galilee? Oh, he will be refused in his doctrine. He will be refused in his teachings and by the men of the church, by the Pharisees, by the scribes who did teach the people in the way of error. And when he brought his rebukes against that error, and he taught the people in the way of free and sovereign grace, he will be refused in his practices. Why? Because he will go and he will sit and eat with publicans and with sinners. He will be refused by the Sanhedrin. He will be refused by the Jews. Oh, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Crucify him. Crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. This is the stone. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. Oh, how wondrous are the ways of God. The stone that the builders have refused, that has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. No one could stand in the way of the salvation of that church. Oh, he has shown himself to be stronger than an enemy. He has shown himself to be almighty. You can kill him, but, oh God, he will not leave his soul in hell, neither will he suffer his Holy One to see corruption. That despised Nazarene, where is he? He is sitting at the right hand of God. Be it known unto you, even by him doth this man here upon the earth, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught, of whom? Of you builders. You should have recognized who he was. This is the stone. And you should have known that stone, because you are the builders. You are the builders of the church. And you know the law, and you know the prophets. And when you have read in God's word, then were you to look for mighty things in this world? Were you to look for great things in this world? When he was to be a root, when he was to be a stem, oh, is not this he? What did Isaiah say? Isaiah said, he is despised. He is rejected of men. He is a man of sorrows. He is acquainted with grief. Oh, you builders, this is the stone, and he came and he said it to you too. And he warned you. Oh, what did he say? He spoke about the husbandman. And that owner of the vineyard, he sent his son. He sent his son. And what did they do? They killed his son. What will that owner of the vineyard do? He will come. He will destroy those wicked husbandmen. God forbid, you said. God forbid. And what did he answer you? Oh, he answered you with the words of David. Have ye not read, the stone which the builders refused, the same is made the head of the corner? This is the stone. This is the stone that was set at naught of you builders. And it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto that man by whom they come. Why? The Lord will work it through. The Lord will save his people. And you also will be an instrument in it. But you yourselves are going to be thrust out. No, your office that guarantees you nothing, nothing at all. It only increases your responsibility. Let us sing. Wherefore do the nations rage and the people vainly dream, Psalter 3, 1 and 2, that in triumph they can wage war against the King Supreme. 1 and 2 of Psalter number 3.
This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Congregation, that stone that was set at naught by the builders. But now we have to ask ourselves, is this stone also set at naught by us.
What is the building that is being built? Those builders, they were officers in the church. And the building that is being built, that is that true church of God, that is not just the outward, that visible, that is part of it, but it is in a special way that inward, that invisible, that true church. Are you also part of that building? Peter says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. Thus, that building, that church, that is not made out of dead stones, but that is made out of living stones. All those stones are not the same. When we come, children, into the house of God, then there are many stones, ours, that is made of brick. And there are some stones, they are right there by the door. And you see them every time that you enter. There are other stones that are hidden. But every one of those stones, though they occupy not the same place in that temple, they all have their place. And so that is with those living stones. The one he has set in the foreground by the Lord. The other has another place within that church of God. But every one of them, and they are given their place by him. But are we now ourselves part of that building? Is it not the most essential question in our life as we travel to eternity? You say, how do I know? How do I know if I am one of those living stones of that building? John, he writes, we know that we have passed from death unto life if we love the brethren. Thus, there is something that is planted in the heart of those living stones. That is not only love for the Lord, but that is love for the church. Then those stones, they are all together in that building. And there is love for one another for the sake of that kingdom of God. Paul says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Thus we read another place in the New Testament, which is speaking about this same verse. Oh, how do we know that we also are a living stone? Oh, it has so much to do with that foundation stone. It has so much to do with that head stone. If that stone that is set at naught by us, then we may rightly question whether we are a living stone of that building. In congregation, so it is by nature. Oh, what does our heart testify in this morning hour concerning this stone that was set at naught by those builders? Because even if we are religious persons and we come faithfully to that house of the Lord, then by nature we have no need for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, do you ever think how that shall be? When one day we shall stand before Him in judgment, and we have our whole life set Him at naught. We have our whole life said that we have no desire for Thee or for the knowledge of Thy ways. Oh, do we think that we shall be received by His Father who has sent Him into this world in the end of time and our days? When we have set Him at naught, you say, I cannot give myself love to the Lord Jesus. I am glad that you recognize that, because there are so many people that do not recognize that. But then you are being honest with yourself. And we need to be honest. But congregation, it is also no excuse, because it does not relieve us from our responsibility and our accountability. We shall stand before Him. And if we had all our life set Him at naught, then we can be sure that we will be set at naught also. And that awfully, to a great eternity. Or is it ever a burden to you that you say now that Son of God, who is loved by the true people of the Lord, do you ever go on your knees and say, Lord, Thy people, they love Thee. They love the Lord Jesus. And if I am honest, I see no beauty in Him. I see no form in Him. I see no comeliness in Him. Lord, I am unconverted. Is that then your burden? By nature, we set Him at naught. How is it by grace? How is it by grace? That is actually not such an easy question to answer. By nature, we set at naught not only the Son of God, and by nature we set at naught God Himself. We have no desire for Him. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We live this world as if there is no God. We live as an atheist. In a practical way, with our confession. And now in regeneration, that changes. That changes. Or when the Lord comes, then we do not set the Lord at naught anymore. No, then we begin to love Him. Then we begin to fear Him. But now our question is this: what about the Son? What about the Son of God? How is that in regeneration? Do they love Him too? Yes, they love Him too. Cannot be otherwise. Why? Because the Son is the second person of the Holy Trinity. And they love the Son then just as they love the Father and the Holy Spirit, only they don't distinguish this. They love God, and implicit in their love to God must also be that love to the Son. But the Son, He also has offices. And that newborn soul, he is not yet acquainted with the offices of the Lord Jesus.
And not only is he not acquainted with those offices, but he has no need. He also does not feel the desire for those offices. And now he will be made acquainted by the Spirit of the Lord, one by one. Where will the Lord begin? Or he will begin with a prophetical office. And they will begin to see with open eyes that they are so ignorant, that they are so foolish, and they will begin to need him in his prophetical office. Or is that all thought out in the doctrine? No. No. It is just the way it is experienced in their life. Then they begin to cry out, Lord, teach me. Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. Because I do not know the way. And yet, there is in a certain sense a way in which they set at naught that Son of God. No, not as the ruler set him at naught. It is different. But congregation, we are of ourselves enemies. Oh, we say it gently. We say it gently. For the people in whom the Spirit of the Lord, oh, he draws you. He draws you to love the Lord, to return to him. And you find it so, so impossible. And now we say it gently. What is it? We set at naught the Son of God. We set at naught the priestly office of the Son of God. Do you know what we despise? We despise his sacrifice. His sacrifice. The disciples, they were offended. They were offended when the Lord Jesus would give himself unto the cross. Who were the disciples? Oh, they were the little ones in the true church of God. Did they love the Lord? Oh, certainly they loved the Lord. But not a priestly office. The sacrifice that the Lord Jesus would make. This, actually, no, not as the Pharisees and the scribes, but this also. They said it not. And they wanted to increase. But the Lord Jesus, he was going to go in the way of decreasing. And now how is it with all the stones of that building? Where they found it on? Where they grounded on? Every one of them. They are founded, they are grounded upon one foundation stone. There is one thing that unites them. Oh, they are fallen, wretched, miserable sinners, all looking for their salvation in that Son of God. But now to learn this, now to learn that, that is not generally a matter of one day. Oh, how much stripping is necessary. How many disappointments have to be experienced in themselves. How do they not have to experience their own guilt, their own wretchedness, their own pollution, their own helplessness to deliver themselves. And then, oh, when the Lord, Paul says, when he revealed his Son in me, What a day. What a day. And when the Lord will reveal His Son in you, then you will set His Son at naught no longer. Saul did not. Not anymore. No, his heart that now needed him, because he was stripped of all his Pharisaical religion. And he needed what? He needed a Savior. And he began to testify of that name. And so by degrees, all the people, they will need him. They're going to need him more and more. Why? Because the longer that they live, the more that they have to experience what that law is in their members. That they need him not only for justification, but also for sanctification and for a complete redemption. How is it, people of the Lord? Are you a riddle? Are you a riddle to yourself? And can you not understand why it is that the Lord leads you in the way that he does? But come now. Was there not a time that you also set at naught that Son of God? That you had no, you saw no beauty in him. And you did not understand. That song that people of the Lord, they sing. And now what is the fruit? What is the fruit of all the way that the Lord leads you? Oh, is it not that you go more and more with John the Baptist to say he must increase and I must decrease? Or does the Lord, by his Spirit, not make more and more him whom you refused to become that head of the corner? That head of the corner. And why? Because with all the rest of those stones, those living stones, one day you are going to sing about that stone who was set at naught by the builders and by you too, but who was made the head of the corner. And then you will sing, "It is a marvel in our eyes." Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou make him precious, make him necessary? Open the eyes of thy people. O thy servant did long for him when she had slept, when he had napped, and when she went to seek him again. All then she did say, "Saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" Lord, that thou may visit thy children again and open their eyes for the first or by renewal, and do take him who is set at naught by us, or do make him in our estimation also that headstone of the corner. Give an increase in the love for him in the life of thy people, and that they may forsake more and more the world and every former friend. Humble thou us under all thy goodness. Bless thy word that may be brought in this morning hour. Remember us also further in this day. Thy servant hopes to stand here. And when we are not able in this afternoon and evening, he hopes to stand here in this afternoon. Lord, help him too. And oh, give to us all together of that Spirit of Pentecost, and their hearts may be pricked,
And that men may cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? For Jesus' sake, amen. 427, 4 and 5. In truth, the Lord has sorely chastened, but had not to death delivered me. 4 and 5 and 427.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.